Open up to 2 Corinthians. Really, hang on, put a marker there because I think we're going to start in Luke chapter 10. I don't have any notes today. The scriptures are the notes, and they tag the revelation that he's taught me about them. Luke 10 is where we're going to start. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has told us this is the year of power. We are going to walk in the revival. You are a people that's prepared and being prepared. Is that okay? Prepared and being prepared to be the very body. You are his hand outstretched. Let me say it that way. He has no other hand but yours. He has no body on this earth except us. Christians, not just us here at the prayer center, but true believers. We're all in that process of becoming conformed to the image of Christ. Our spirit really already is. It's our mind and so forth, as the Holy Spirit was bringing forward through Tim this morning. And we're still teaching on Luke 9. I've got you in Luke 10, right? Back up one. Luke 9, verse 23. Because if this is the year of power, and it is, we're not going to walk in power walking as mere men. We're not going to walk in power as intellectual lollipop Christians. Do you remember when Dave talked about the lollipop Christians? I remember those, what do they call those big, the lollipops that have the M&M soft center? Tootsie Roll Pops, thank you. Yeah, that's it. Got a Tootsie Roll Center, that's what it is. So Dave was teaching us years ago about the lollipop Christians. Gary is very guilty of being a lollipop Christian for years. Because I was full of head knowledge. Yeah. I love seminars and I love to learn and I love the Word of God and I really love it. And I should love it. There's nothing wrong with that. But see, if you're a hearer only, you know, it says, James says, if you're a hearer only of the word, and I mean the pure word, he says you don't need the devil to deceive you because you're already deceiving yourself. Well, that's a lollipop Christian. Full of head knowledge, boy, can just debate and talk and teach. Lots of head knowledge. Trouble is, you still got a soft center. I'm sorry. Heads, your brain's not fully formed yet or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's Gary. I'm sorry. I saw this picture. Yeah, it looks nice, but it's got a soft center, you know. Anyway. But the trouble with that analogy, what does the stick represent that the lollipop's on? That's your spirit. That's the way Dave was seeing it. He says, we're not going to walk into revival that way. Lollipop Christians with a head full of knowledge and a little skinny, little dried up, barely enough to hold our heads. We're all puffed up, knowledge. Walk in, little skinny spirit. That is not the walk of the Spirit. See, that's not the walk of the new man. And where he's got me right now, and where you know he's had me ever since we started this year of power thing, I would never have dreamed it that the base would be Luke 9:23. I just never would have thought it. But I can't get away from it. And even when I try and get away from it, like today, he walks me right back to it. So let's look again now. See, if we're going to walk into revival, are we going to have to follow him? Well, he says, if any man will come after me, this is Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, we've already taught on that part. I'm going to try and say it a little differently. You are not a creature of earth anymore. You got to say no to that old person that you were. And all of the plans and agendas that you had before, that goes in the trash now. You are bought and paid for. You're going to follow him. Maybe you were, I'll just use Peter. Maybe Peter had dreams of becoming the biggest fishing franchise this world had ever seen. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just picking something. But maybe that was his plan. But when the Lord comes and says, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Well, your dreams are over. It's over. So when it says deny himself, it's just exactly like Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul obviously had agendas. He was going to stamp this Christianity thing out. You know, he thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians. I mean, good Lord. You know? But boy, when he met the real Jesus, when he just first day, he asked the two best questions you can ask. First, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Did you hear that? "Who are you, Lord? I don't know who you are, but if you got that kind of power, you are Lord." Well, and the Lord told him, "I am Jesus. I'm the very one you're persecuting. Stop it." Okay. Maybe that's my Gary's interpretation. Then the next question, see, here it is. What would you have me do? All of Paul's agendas are now gone. Whatever he was going to be, I don't know if he was aspired to be the chief of the Sanhedrin or who knows what. I don't know. Maybe he had aspirations, you know. That's over. What would you have me do? Let him deny himself. You're not that old earth creature that you were before. You're not that child of Adam that you were before. Say no to that guy. Then take up your cross daily. Come and follow me. Take up your cross daily. Well, what's he talking about there? What goes on the cross? The flesh. What's the purpose of the cross? Death. He's been having us over in Philippians chapter 2. We're not going there today, where it talks about he was obedient even to the death of the cross. And it took forever for the Holy Ghost to get it across to me. That he's not only talking about the one-time event where he died on the cross of Calvary. No, he was talking a daily event for the Lord, because the Lord was tempted in all points like we are. He was wearing fallen flesh exactly like yours, exactly like mine. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. What does that tell you? What did he have to do with his flesh every single day? He had to put it on the cross. Well, so Brother Gary, the thing that I need to do is I need to try harder to keep my flesh on the cross. That's what I need to focus on, right? If you do that, you'll wind up just like the Jews did for all those years, and they'll prove through human effort you can't keep the law. You just can't do it. The secret is not to try harder to crucify the flesh. The secret is given in Galatians. Well, it's not really a secret. The key, that's a better word. The key is given in Galatians chapter 5. If you'll walk in the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the key is, how do you learn to walk in the Spirit? How do you do that? So we've been going through all many chapters and talking about how the difference between the Romans 7 guy and the Romans 8 guy. The Romans 7 guy is the guy who had the law, but he had no nature to keep it. He didn't even know that it was wrong to covet. Until he read it in the law, somebody had to read it to him. He didn't have any internal knowledge of that, So he had to learn it. And though he loves God, he's trying to keep it. See, he's trying to, I will not do that anymore, that evil thing, and I'm going to do that good thing. And he's just like everybody else that tries it. You find out you can't do it. He said, well, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And only he could do it, because what had to happen, he had to come and kill that old man. That old sinful nature literally had to be removed. And he said, Ezekiel prophesied about it. He says, I'm going to take out that stony heart, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. Boy, that's prophesying about the new birth right there. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us that what happens there, you get a code from the inside. You get a, God says himself, man now doesn't have to teach you it's wrong to covet. You don't have to read it in a written code. God says when you get born again, written in the mind and the heart of that new man, I'm going to write my laws right there. You won't have to go and learn. You'll know from the day you get born again my law. You'll know it. Now, Paul calls that the law of love. He said, if you if you truly learn how to walk in God's love, that is the fulfilling of the law, because love does no ill to its neighbor. That's a lot condensed, okay? We could break that down into a lot of services, but I'm trying to get to a certain point today. We've been teaching for all this year, really, even though the titles might not seem like it, but we've really been teaching on, we're learning how to walk in the Spirit so we can keep the flesh on the cross. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? There's a book I'd like to recommend to you. The Bible is the first book I want to recommend. It's a really good book. Do you know God has a book out? Bestseller, I hear. But there's another really good book, and it's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, by this up-and-coming young preacher named Dave Roberson. It is loaded with like 30 or 40 years of revelation knowledge. Every generation should not have to reinvent the wheel. You know, you don't have to. A lot, yes, we're all praying out mysteries, but there's some you don't have to. Dave already did. You can get that, read that book and put to work what's in there. And you can jumpstart a lot of years. You can jump over a lot of years, which when you're my age is really important. Although I'm going to live a long time. Now we'll go over to Luke 10. That was foundation for what we're going to teach today. He makes an astounding statement here. I'm going to start, I'm after verse 19, but let's start in 17 so you'll see for sure who he's talking to. And this is after he had sent out the 70. He had anointed them and told them and commissioned them to go out into these different places and preach the kingdom, heal the sick, and so forth, cast out devils. Well, 70, not just the 12, 70. They come back with a pretty good report. So the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Can you read that there's an astonishment in that? I mean, they were surprised. And you know what I think? I think the devils were more surprised than the 70. It's like, okay, Jesus, we know. We've seen, okay, we know this guy. Who is this guy? Whoa. Then the Holy Spirit enforced when they spoke in the name. Because Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, you remember? In another place, same thing. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God. He is the molecule changer. Those devils aren't leaving politely. Why do you think they scream? Ow! They're being kicked out. And I think they were startled when these little 70 guys, who are these guys? They come, but in the name, see. Jesus had put his mantle basically on them. Boy, when they preached in the name, here come the Holy Ghost to enforce their words. We ought to get a shouting amen right there. Because if that can happen with unborn again people, how much more can that happen with born again people? Right? The name that is above every name. But they're real excited about that. He said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now here is an astounding thing. "Behold, I give unto you power." What year is this? The year of power. "I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing..." As if nothing is not enough, "shall by any means," "nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you." In other words, that's not the big issue here. "But rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Well, let's get back to verse 19 for a minute. As you know, the word power is mentioned there twice, but it's two different Greek words. The first time is exousia. I hope I'm saying that close to right. But it means authority. The second time he says, "I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." And when he says power of the enemy, that's the Greek word dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It's where we get our word dynamite. He says, "I'm giving you authority over all the dynamite power of the enemy." Let me say it in plain English. He can't hurt you. What? What? Now let's meditate a minute. The 70, I don't know the history of all the 70, you know, after the resurrection of Jesus. But we do know the history of the 12. Judas hung himself. Okay. John, they tried to kill. They boiled him in oil, I read, and all these different things. They tried to kill John. They couldn't kill John. John lived until he died of natural causes when his work was through. But the remaining, the remainder of them, history tells us every single one of them was a martyr. Let's say it a different way. The devil killed them. But did he kill them directly? Not one of them that I read about died of sickness. Every single one of them was killed by other human beings. So, see, the devil, he can't kill you directly. He cannot harm you directly. That's what Jesus is saying. Where we're really going today is he can't make you sin either. We're talking about putting the flesh on the cross. He cannot make you sin. Devil can't make you do anything. We're not saying he's dead. We're not saying he's not active in your life. But he cannot make you do anything. He was not able to kill one of the... He couldn't just walk up and kill any of the 70. Can't do it. He's got to work through other means. See? Now, I'm trying to get the sequence... Whoa. I'm trying to get the sequence right here. Just a moment. Yes, sir. Okay. We'll do it that way. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. So, I want to recommend another series... It's the same one I've been recommending to you. If you have not listened in a long time to Pastor, or if you've never heard, that old series that Pastor Dave taught called Unmasking Satan's Tactics. It's at the website of Dave's, daveroberson.org. Look under the series teaching and you'll find it there. And it's just phenomenal. And I'm not going to try and reteach that today. But if you want to see how the enemy is active in your life, that's the best teaching that I've ever heard on planet Earth about it. The thing about the devil, his greatest weapon is deception. He's doing it, and you don't realize it's him doing it. Now, I'm just real busy. I'm just real busy, Brother Gary. That's why I don't pray. Now, I had all hell break loose this week. The car broke down. Cat scratched my wife. Kids talked back to me. Got fired off my job. Dog ran up and bit my other leg. But it's just stuff, you know. Just things happen. And we forget. And the sower sows the word. Tim this morning was talking about not only the written word, but whatever it is God's told you, whatever your assignment is from God. From Jesus. Satan comes immediately to steal that word. Steal not only the written word, but your assignment. How does he do it? Cares. Persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world. Busy, busy, busy. Problems, problems. I'll pray tomorrow. Sure you will. Devil will be dead tomorrow. Won't be any problems tomorrow. You can pray tomorrow. Sure. That'll work. Well, this week, I can see this whole week. I'll pray next week. I was going to get into the Word. I really was. I was going to read Dave's book. I was going to listen to that series, Unmasking Satan Tactics, but you just don't understand. A lot of stuff happened right now, but it's not the devil. It is the devil. He is stealing your life one day at a time. It is the devil. Wake up! Dig in your heel. Yes, sir. Our pastor, recently, within the last few months, he was talking with me about, I forget now exactly, I needed to pray or something. What's a good pastor supposed to be telling you? Go pray, Gary. And I was making some kind of excuse. I don't know what it was. Busy this, busy that, something. He said, well, you need to pray that God would heal your foot. He was probably talking to me about fasting. I honestly don't remember, but I don't remember what it was. But anyway, he says, well, you need to pray that God would heal your foot. My foot's fine. What are you talking about? He said, well, Gary, if God would heal your foot, then you could put your foot down and go pray. Or go fast or whatever it was he was saying at the time. oh, right through the heart. Well, here I am, falling for it. Same old deception. Busy this, busy that. Persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world. And that's even before you get to the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, you know. I ever tell you to go to 2 Corinthians 10? Yeah. All right. Now, what I'm going to teach from here is a fruit of this passage. It's not the root, okay? But it'll get us where we need to go today. See, the goal is to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, okay? Well, as you're doing that, let's say you've read Dave's book and you're doing everything that you know to do that's in there. Did you know that once you start on that journey, the devil doesn't stop? If anything, a target gets painted right on your back and he'll turn it up against you. But how does he do it? Since he has no power, he can't hurt me, Gary. He can't hurt me. How does he do it? Well, that's what we're going to expose today. See, this passage, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, real familiar passage. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. You want to get God involved in your fight? Use the weapons he's given us. See? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And, I love this, bringing into captivity every thought. Say with me, every thought. Say it again, every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you do that, you'll be walking in the Spirit. If you don't do that, you're going to be walking in some mixture of flesh and spirit. So I was asking the Lord, show me what Jesus means when he says, I have given you all authority. Let's say it like the King James. I'm giving you all power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I said, God, give me a pure picture. Where in the Bible can I see that exactly? And of all places, go to Genesis 3. I never would have guessed. Genesis 3. See, we're talking about Adam and Eve before the fall. And you want a pure picture of how the enemy works? They actually had a leg up on us in a couple of ways. Number one, the bodies they were wearing did not have the motions of sin operating in them. They weren't wearing fallen flesh like what you and I are wearing. There was no sin yet. Remember later on it says, by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So sin and death had not entered yet. So if anything, you talk about a pure, she didn't even have a, and again, I want to mention Eve, but now, you know, sin is not, guilt is not laid at the feet of Eve because it says she was deceived. It's laid at the feet of Adam because Adam was not deceived. Okay, you're going to see that so clear here in a minute. All right. So if we want to see the enemy and how he works in his purest form, this would be a real good place because they're not. And the other way they got a leg up on us, they weren't living in a fallen world. They weren't living in a corrupt society. I mean, the stuff that you just be trying to watch something, you know, and what they show all of a sudden just flashes there is worse than the girly magazines I bought as a teenager, you know. Our society has gone downhill so bad. See? They weren't living in a world like that. All they knew was God, a perfect world, a perfect body. Man, you want to see the enemy at work, do you? Okay, so Let's back up just a little. It's hard for me to preach a verse. Have you ever noticed that anymore? I can't start where I want to start, you know. So let's, verse 21, and of chapter 2, I mean. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And notice, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay? Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, and by the way, this is how he always starts. Has God said? He always comes against the word, see. Always gets you questioning the word. Always trying to bring you into doubt. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now you can go back and read it for yourself. I can't find where God said, don't touch the tree. I think, quotation marks, Gary's opinion. Don't write me no letters. I think Adam added that because he wanted to be double sure. Woman, don't you eat of that tree. In fact, don't you even touch that tree. That's because that's the way we tend to do it, isn't it, with our kids. Okay. I can't prove that, but anyway. But she sure knew the will of God regarding the tree, not to eat of it, and she knew why. Lest you die. Adam, where did she get that? Adam told her. She knew. Okay. Now notice, we're looking at the work of the enemy. See, the enemy can't just come and make Eve do nothing. Can you see this? He cannot force Eve to sin. He can't take the apple off the tree, open her mouth, force it down her throat somehow. Oh, I ate the apple by accident. I've actually had people tell me stuff like that. I'm telling you, I committed adultery. I don't know how it happened. You liar. We could go to James right now. You know, you'd drawn away of your own lust. Your soul and your flesh had a conference. You thought about it. You anticipated how it would feel. You anticipated all kinds of stuff. And finally, there was enough fellowship, if I were in church, fellowship, relationship, that something was conceived, and that's called sin. Anyway, lust was conceived, and when it was finished, brought forth death. Anyway, you didn't know fall and no adultery. Well, the point we're trying to make here, the devil could not make Eve do nothing. What's he doing? He's planting thoughts. He's getting her to doubt the word of God. Notice he comes, first he says, has God said? That's kind of oblique, you know. Then he comes, now notice how he says it then, when after she says, we're not supposed to eat it or touch it or we'll die. Now notice, the serpent said unto the woman, boy, now he comes directly against the word of God. No more games, the gloves are off now. He says, you shall not surely die. Okay, I should have had you pinched together. I should have kept it pinched myself. Casting down imaginations. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the devil doing? He is planting imaginations, high things, knowledge that's exalting itself against the word of God. He's building a stronghold in her that says, if I eat it, I will not die. Oh, he's not done yet. He's still, this is how he works. It's called deception. Okay? This is why God had to give us the spirit of truth. First off, that spirit man on the inside of you is born of the truth, but it's not all-knowing like God. It's just, it's you with a moral, good moral compass on the inside, righteousness. But it doesn't know everything like God knows. That's why he also gave you the Holy Spirit, who does know everything. You spend time in fellowship with him, he'll guide your path. Amen? But anyway, getting back to here, we're trying to see how the enemy has no power over Eve. He can't make her do anything. He can't make her sin. He can't make her sick. He can't do anything except suggest thoughts, imaginations. How does one preacher say it? You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You may not be able to stop every thought that the enemy sends your way, but you sure don't have to stay there and meditate on it and think about it. So the enemy in verse 4, he says unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now notice, now he starts coming against God's character. For God knows the very day you eat thereof, not only are you not going to die, he's lying to you. What'll really happen? Your eyes are going to be opened. Then you'll be as a God yourself. And you'll know good and evil. Now he's implying that God's been holding out on them. That God keeps all the good stuff for himself. He doesn't want you to eat that because then your eyes would be open. You'd be like him. And basically what he's saying is you won't need him anymore. You'd be your own God. Boy, does that remind you of a verse in Judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Reminds me of another one in Proverbs. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the way thereof is death. Boy, Eve didn't know it, but that's the enemy. That's exactly the path he was trying to lead her down. And now notice, she's listening. And the woman, boy, if you underline, saw. First, she's listening to these thoughts come from this enemy somehow. These reasonings, these imaginations, these high things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. Then she's employing the five physical senses. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's still external. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, this is something, God's been holding out on me. I'm not as wise as I could be. He's been holding out. This will make me wise. She's listening to imaginations, thought processes. Can I say reasonings? Can I say logic? And even her own eyes are involved looking at this thing, the five physical senses. She took of the fruit. Who took? Did the devil make her eat it? Did the devil pick it? She had to do it. Deception. Imaginations. High things. Exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And she kept thinking about it. We don't know how long this really lasted. I don't know how long this went on. Might have been quick. Might have been a while. But I know she let that imagination and that thought pattern grow on the inside of her until finally she herself... The devil couldn't make her do it. She herself. Now get this. Without a sin nature and without fallen flesh. Just pure rational logic. That's why it's so scary to live your life by pure rational logic. You're going to wind up in a lot of trouble. I don't want to be led by my mind. I want to be led by his spirit. That was free. Like it all is. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. And if you underline anything in this passage, with her. My eyes skipped over those two words for so many decades till I finally saw it. He was standing there the whole time. He heard the whole conversation. He's watching the whole thing. And he did eat. Now watch this. I'm going to demonstrate this. This is the picture that I saw while I was in prayer this morning getting ready. Now I need a woman that is the absolute epitome of beauty. Perfectly formed in every way. Someone pure and innocent. Sue, would you come here just a minute? She has no idea I'm doing this. I'm taking great risk, you married men. This is my baby. This is my Eve right here. This is her, my Sue. All right. Now, got to understand, really, Adam and Eve at this point, I'm going to be Adam. Now, who can be the devil? Let's see here. Now, who? I need you here. Just come around on the Eve side here. And I guess you'll kind of do like this. You're implanting thoughts, see, you know. And she's listening. Here's this. He can't take her hand. He's reaching. He can't get it. He can't make Sue do nothing. But he's talking with her. She is hearing the thoughts. Anyone ever been tormented? Anyone know what I'm talking about? This is how he does it. He doesn't have any dunamis power. Are you seeing that? He has no dynamite, no physical nothing that he can do. He has to deceive her. And the one who's really at guilt here is Adam. If I'm Adam, I'm standing here. I'm hearing the whole thing. I'm seeing this dude talk to my wife. I'm the one that's been given authority to keep the garden. Gardeners, what do you do with pests? You kick them out. Don't you get rid of the pests? As soon as that dude shows up, I'm supposed to go, hey, get out. That's what I'm supposed to do. Okay, come back. I'm still teaching. isn't that what Adam's supposed to do? I don't know what the guy's thinking, but he's watching this whole thing. And she's thinking. And she's looking. There's a tree right there, baby. See that tree? Can you pretend like Cole? Cole says, Papa, can you pretend? Anyway, see that tree?
Yeah.
Right there's that apple. Boy, looks good. He's talking with her. I'm going to be his voice. That's going to make you wise if you eat that.
I need to be wise.
She says, I need to be wise. you know right and wrong. Uh-huh. That'd be good.
That'd be good.
And besides that, God lies. He lies. You won't die. You won't die. Finally, something, I don't know how long it took, imaginations, high things, exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and she herself had, I can't do it, baby, you got to do it.
That, I don't even know what die means.
And she doesn't even know what die means yet. But anyway, she reaches up herself. She has to do it. You have to reach, baby, I can't do it for you. She has to reach up, get that fruit. And Adam, now watch this, Adam is watching this whole thing. Adam, he's the one that originally heard from God. He knows what God said. He heard what the devil said. God said, the day you eat that, you're going to die. Devil said, you saw it a while ago yourself, you won't die. And Adam is watching. She takes a bite of it. Go ahead. Takes a bite of it. Adam's watching.
Oh, just one.
Eat the whole apple. I don't care. Eat the whole apple. No, you can't. You got to give me a little bit of it. So Adam, now, you got to get this. He heard God. He heard the devil. Now he is putting himself in the position as judge. Who is a liar? Who is a liar? And look what he's using to make that decision. Is he using the word of God? He's taking evidence from his own eyes. She's just as beautiful as before. She didn't fall down on the ground. She didn't go, down on the ground, you know, gasping for air. He's going, somebody's lying here. Who is lying? I have God's word. But my physical senses tell me that God's word is not true. And the devil said it wasn't true. Who is telling the truth? I'm going to have to make a decision here. Somebody's lying. She didn't. Now, let me ask you, did she die? Well, in spirit. You know what? Then he took it. Yes, sir. There's a question right there. I don't know that she spiritually died. I know they died when he took it. Okay? For you technicals. Okay, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, I do know this. I know he's watching. She did not fall to the ground and die. So he says, finally, he had to make a decision. And he says, Satan, you're telling the truth. He didn't say those words, but by his actions, he did. God's a liar and you're not. Hand me that apple. And he took of it. Give them a hand. Didn't they do good? Now, Jesus says, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is one I'm really after. This is Mark 11:24 now. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's kind of our definition verse for faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We could just go on with so many different faith verses. Adam did faith in reverse. He had the word of God, and he had all the blessings of God. He was in the perfect world, in the perfect garden, with a perfect body, and Sue, the perfect wife. Did you get that? Well, he was like, okay, anyway. I'm trying to rescue myself because I didn't ask permission before I did that. She's very gracious to me. I'm teasing. Anyway, he had God's word, but he chose to believe what his five physical senses told him. So I like to say it this way. Lack of faith in God's word, choosing the evidence of the senses instead, choosing to live by sight, that was the way out of the garden. That was the way out of all of the real blessings of God. That's why today, the way back in to all the blessings of God, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. So Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I'll use Gary and not use because he's always mean to me and nice to you. So Gary gets in a prayer line. Pastor Dave prays for me and does the eat thing with my arms. Okay. And we're praying for my back, right? And you know, I'm always better after that. One time I think I even got taller for a little while. And I'm okay with that. Trust me. But in a day or two, here comes the pain again. See, and I've got a decision to make. Am I healed or am I not healed? Well, Gary, are you healed? Now, see, I've got two things contrary here. Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire when you pray. When you pray. When was that, Sunday? When am I supposed to believe it? When I feel it? Oh. When I pray? Believe I receive it when I pray. But my back tells me I'm not healed. The pain tells me I'm not healed. Now somebody's lying. Y'all seeing the analogy? Up till now, this is really kind of faith 101. Okay? You probably all have heard similar things along. Now, this is for the year of power now. This is for the prayer center and those on this journey with us. This year, he's calling you to believe something much more difficult than a healing in your back or a healing for your toe or anything like that. He's calling you to believe that you are who he says you are. Well, Gary, have you read those prophecies? Have you read what he's saying to me? That he expects me, like the 70, to go out and preach the kingdom and have the same results? Doesn't he know who I am? Well, who do you say you am? Bad grammar, but who do you say you am? Well, I know who I am. I eat too much. I lose my temper. I have pain here and there. I know who I am. What are you basing that on? what I see, what I hear, what I feel. That's the same mistake Adam made. Who does he say you are? Oh, he says that I'm his child. That I was raised together with Christ. I was first quickened together with Christ, raised together with Christ. He says right now, as far as he's concerned, I'm seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power. He says I'm the righteousness of God in him. Well, who do you say you am? Oh, I lie, cheat, I steal. Well, not much, just a little bit. I lose my temper. I this, I that. Therefore, conclusion, no revival. We're making exactly the same mistake that he did. And the only cure is faith in God's word. How are you going to walk in the Spirit? You're going to have to believe what the word says. You are who he says you are. And I don't care if you stumble 70 times 7 a day. If he asked Peter to forgive 70 times 7, how much more is he willing to do that? See, 2 Corinthians 10. I double dog dare you. I hear pages turning. If you think this analogy won't fit, let's read verse 5 again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Jump down to verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Like Adam did? Are you judging by the outer appearance? Are you judging by God's word? Adam, he judged by the outer appearance. He says, my eyes tell me. My feelings tell me. My logic tells me that God's word is not true. But do you look on things on the outward appearance? The just shall live by faith and not by sight. While we look not at those things which are temporal, but the things which are unseen, eternal. Amen? Not at the things that are seen. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. That's exactly what Eve should have done. Adam should have done even more. Adam should have kicked his hiney bottom out of the garden. You need to be kicking him out of your garden. He can't make you do nothing. He has no power over you. The only power he has is that power of deception. He's working against you. See, he's working against you the same way he worked against them. Thoughts, imaginations, has God said? Tim and I are not spring chickens. I'm 68 and he's a little older, not much. David, we're about the same. You think the enemy doesn't come all the time, all the time, all the time saying, it's never going to happen. You know? He's a liar. He's a liar. I am not going to allow that deception in my brain. I can't keep it from coming, but I can sure stop dwelling on that. How do you really fight it? You fight it the same way Jesus did. When he was in his temptation in the wilderness and the enemy came against him, and you know, we're only given those three temptations. Trust me, it was the worst that Satan had. He was trying to get him to commit suicide. He was trying to get him to jump off the temple. Come on. Twisting scripture. He was doing everything he could to destroy him. And what did Jesus use? It is written. It is written. It is written. He did not stand there silence. That's what Adam did. Adam stood there silent while the enemy deceived Eve and watched her. And it's his fault and not hers. She was deceived. He was not. He made a rational, logical choice. He chose to believe the five physical senses instead of the word of God. I'm sure glad I've never been guilty of that. Sure glad you haven't either. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Amen. Amen. Now, these words, and I'm not going to get into them today because God's using Tim right now to bring forward these words that we've been receiving this year. But it's amazing. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. Apparently, I am. I didn't know. One day this last week, and I've been on a seeking time, not exactly. I've been getting up early to pray, okay? I've just been getting up early to pray. You would think, you know, that if you're getting up early to pray, how many of you knows the flesh don't like that? Is it just me? No? Okay. Yeah, don't like it. So, you know, but I've been doing it, and I've been doing pretty good. And I got up this one morning. You know, if anything, you think you ought to get an attaboy for that. And I got up early to pray, and I'm telling you, it's like 100 devils had been sitting on the foot of my bed waiting on me to wake up. Immediately, I mean immediately, every failure, every mistake, every sin, just started like just running through my mind. I felt so, and I'm not talking from 30 years ago either. I felt so bad. And here I'm supposed to go into the Holy of Holies and I'm going to pray in tongues for 2 hours or something, you know. And I felt so slimy. I felt so anything but his son. I mean, I felt so... None of you ever feel that way, I know. But so what I started to do... And see, you got to be careful. You don't want to get off in the ditch on this. I'll mention that in a minute. But I'm like, God, I can't go into his presence like this, you know. Now... make sure you understand, I don't think I did anything. I mean, I didn't do anything. I didn't, this night I didn't have a really bad dream or and even then, you know, Sue and I, we got, you know, everything was fine. There wasn't something going on. It's like, he just like was waiting, wham, all this stuff. And I feel like a sheep eating dog at slimy dog worm, you know. So I'm going into my normal mode and what do? You know, well, I start... Father, I'm sorry for this, and I repent for that. And I thought that was already under the blood, but I... And I'm starting into that mode, and I'm really... It was serious. I mean, I'm kind of making light of it a little bit. I was... Actually, there was some tears. I felt so bad. And he began... You know what he said to me? Oh, God. I was going to wait. I haven't had time to meditate on this one much myself. He said to me, he says... Could I talk to my son instead? I did like you're doing. Why? See, all that caterwauling, is that... Here I was going to wallow around in stuff, actually, that had been under the blood for 30 years. Trying to steal my time and trying to also steal my... Who I am. Who I am. That's the most important thing. And he was saying... You know, from God's point of view, this has been under the blood for 30 years. Or maybe it's been under the blood for an hour. It doesn't make any difference, okay? But once you confess it, doesn't it say he forgives you and cleanses you? You're whiter than snow and all of that, okay? So he's going, are we going to waste the time that you have? You got up early. The enemy's trying to steal this fellowship time. Could I speak with my son instead? And as I thought about that, I went, you know, there is a new man on the inside of me that is created in righteousness and true holiness. So then, I'm telling you, my whole attitude, something adjusted on the inside. And I began giving a report back to headquarters that went something like this. I have arrived safely on planet Earth. Are we not aliens from another world? I just want to report to headquarters that I have arrived safely on planet Earth. I have taken up residence in this body. We have established a beachhead in the soul. The war is intense, but we have established a beachhead, and I expect to conquer more land. Now, I'll give you another report tomorrow. Glory to God. That's what's really going on here. He said, can I talk to my son? The new creature. Now, you got to be careful with that. See, if you go off in the ditch with that too far, then pretty soon you'll be doing like the radical grace preacher saying, oh, it's not really you sinning and you don't need that. No. We're not split up. We're teaching spirit, soul, and body, but we are an integrated unit. He expects you to put your flesh on the cross. And when you don't, You need to own up, man up. You men ought to be careful if you're ever in a counseling session with Sue. You start whining about your wife, about your kids, about your job. She'll say, I want to see your man card right now. Put it out on the table. I think your man card is expired. Shut up and man up. That's my wife. Hallelujah. You still in 2 Corinthians 10? See, he has given us these wonderful weapons of warfare if we want to walk in the Spirit. And this is what Dave's book is all about. And Sue and I'm telling you, the day we walked through the doors of this church, we had been so whipped. I was false doctoring with legs. If they'd have sold a t-shirt, I would have bought it. As soon as we come in, it says, Strongholds Are Us. Man, we had been hurt, wounded, false doctrine, everything in the world. We were this. We were full of strongholds, imaginations, and high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We didn't know how to bring our thoughts in captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. We didn't know how to do it anymore. We'd been so brutalized. Is that a good word? By the church at large. Brutalized by well-meaning Christians that didn't know come here from Sikkim. Sorry. They meant well, but they hurt you bad. Because Be nice, Gary. Yes. But we just started. So thank God for Pastor Dave and the teachings. It's, you know, I hope I don't. I know he's a man, but he's a man God used to rescue us. We were inches away from the trash heap when it comes to doing anything for God. We were just about done. And we walked through the door, and with all that love and all that humor, little by little, he began giving us the very tools, the very weapons that are not carnal. He taught us how to meditate God's word. I had 9 books on my shelf that one way or another in the title, How to Meditate God's Word. The first time I ever heard Dave's series, Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery, I went straight home and I just threw them all in the trash. Why? They're wrong. Dave is right. How he taught it is correct. He starts talking about he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he's speaking mysteries. And then Dave would say, now, we know 2 things in that verse. When you're praying in tongues, you're talking to God. And number 2, mysteries are being communicated. Remember? He says, how many of you think when those mysteries are being communicated, you are explaining mysteries to God? No. No, he is explaining mysteries to you. I don't know my call. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. Get your man card out. Quit whining. We have a nice chair for you. Here's a jar of epoxy. How many remember? What you need to do is epoxy your britches to that chair right there. That one right there. You need to learn to pray, son. Let that communication process begin between the part of you that's really born of him and his spirit that he sent to teach it. Weapon. You talk about a weapon of warfare. Of course, y'all know I was in the trucks. I couldn't spend hours meditating the word. Thank God I had a lot of word in me from previous study. I had a lot of word on the inside of me, but all I could really do was pray. I'd drive the trucks, honk, honk, shift, shift, pray. You know, that's all I could do. But it was amazing how it began to work. I was full of, especially when it comes to that prosperity gospel, I was full of all that stuff, the wrong doctrine. And you came too late to tell me it doesn't work. Because the only thing that really changed was I had all that time. I just started praying. And it's like if false doctrine is like a wall in you, brick by brick, he began dismantling that thing. Just tearing it down, right down clean to the foundation. Just psh, and then he started reassembling it. In amazement, I I more than watched it. I was there as it happened. Talk about weapons of warfare. Then Dave would teach us the F word. You know what word I'm talking about? It's fasting. I wish I had done more of it. I've done enough of it to know that it hurts. So I went into Dave. Dave, I'm not sure this is God at all. I'm not sure. It hurts, Dave, when I fast. And he says, it's supposed to. He said, it is a war between your spirit and your flesh that's non-lethal, that you can initiate anytime you want to find out who is boss. I didn't like that answer. That's one of the weapons of our warfare, meditating the Word of God. Dave taught us how to confess the Word of God, ministering to your own soul. Amen. We have these weapons. And the reason he's bringing forward this message today, I thank God for he still heals. Everything that you've ever been taught is still available. I'll tell you right now, he is a God that will prosper you when you're on his path. Where he leads, he provides. You got that? Where he leads, he provides. Amen? But anyway, all of these weapons of our warfare, everything that you've ever been taught about that, your healing, your finances, all of that, that's all still true. He is all of that. But what our generation has not seen, and where we can't go sit under them yet and study, is revival. I don't know anywhere where I can take the pictures, take the people represented by these pictures on this box, the impossible cases. One girl is born without a fully formed brain. Another man has muscular dystrophy. Another one this. And even modern medical science, they can't do anything really. They can't do anything. Where we're going, the real revival, we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to deny ourselves, that old Adamic creature that we were, that creature of the earth, deny that, put that flesh on the cross, and follow him. Only then are we going to see. And this fits perfectly that original vision that Dave had, seeing the earth with that black circle. I'm closing now. I'm trying to. That vision that we all heard, that we all kind of, oh, that's nice. And now I'm seeing. It was the key to revival the whole time. Even the sequence of it. I didn't even pick that up for a long time. The way Dave would teach that, he said, I saw that dark band around the whole earth, and someone would get a hand up through there. You remember the sequence? Someone would get a hand up through there, and it began to glow. And when they come back to earth, everyone they put their hands on would be healed. Is that not a healing revival? Did we not have healing revivals in America right after World War II? Then he says, the sequence, he said, I saw somebody get their whole head up through there, and that head began to glow. And boy, when they come back to earth, they're preaching the very mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. And did we not have teaching revivals following the healing revival? But then the last one he saw, I saw people get their whole person up through there. Their whole being began to glow and like shining brighter than the sun. When they came back to earth, everywhere that their foot touched the ground, revival broke out. That's what he's called us to. That's what we're going to have. But we're not going to do it with human effort. We're only going to do it employing these weapons that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Satan can't do anything. He can't make you do nothing. He can't even kill you with disease if we'll bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. We win. We will have the revival. If that blessed you, give him a hand. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Weapons of warfare. We'll have our revival. Hallelujah.